Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. If you're completing Tardi Mechanach Yomi Tehillim, we'd love to acknowledge and celebrate with you. Share your name at ouwomen.org/Tehillim25 so that we can include you in our Mazel Tov email. Join us next week, Wednesday, July 16th at noon Eastern, for a virtual Siyum celebration with the beloved educators you have been learning with. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Siyum. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Timechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Our perek in Tehillim today is perek Kuf Mem He. That's chapter 145. One that is familiar to most of us from our tefillot every single day, begins with the words we say, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, but of course the actual chapter in the Tehillim begins with Tehillah LeDavid. Chazal point out to us that any Jew who says this particular perek three times every day is what is called a Ben Olam Haba, one who will most certainly merit Olam Haba, his portion in the world to come. Rav Schwab fine-tunes this to tell us, already in this world, such a Jew is tasting the taste of the joy and the pleasure and the fulfillment of Olam Haba, brought to him by the message of this particular perek in Tehillim. This is one as brought down by the Eish Dat, has 150 words, which correlate to the 150 chapters of the entire Sefer Tehillim, the entire collection. And as such, we find within this particular perek distilled many of the messages, many of the themes, the power of the entire book of Psalms bequeathed by David to Klal Yisrael. And in fact, this is the only chapter that begins with the word actually of Tehillah. The general sefer, the general collection, is called in the plural Tehillim, and the singular Tehillah is reserved for this perek, Kuf Mem He. Because again, this is the perek that really distills the essence and the passion of David's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the key to the power and passion of this particular chapter? Chazal point out that there are actually two elements here, which present a duality. And it's this duality which again holds the key to what is so very important in this particular perek. On the one hand, this is a chapter that is composed according to the order of the Aleph Bet. It's a chapter that has a certain very orderly progression. Each pasuk begins with a letter of the Aleph Bet in order. Aleph Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He. And we've discussed this idea before, that any perek that is composed according to this order has a very fundamental, basic lesson, as fundamental and essential as the Aleph Bet itself. Further, when it is this very orderly sequence according to the order of the Aleph Bet, this alludes to the fact that this particular psalm, this particular chapter presents some sort of orderly, systematic program of growth and of striving for a Jew. That's the one level. The second element that makes this perek remarkable, say Chazal, is the idea of the pasuk that is brought for the letter Pei, and that begins with Poteach et yadecha umasbia lechal chai ratzon. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is a verse, this is a chapter that alludes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power and presence in providing sustenance for every living creature. And the importance of this pasuk, of this idea, is such that again, coupled with the systematic order of the Aleph Bet, elevates this perek to be the one that repeated 3 days becomes the passage for any Jew to become what is titled a Ben Olam Haba. And I'd like for us, before we do the psukim of this perek, and unfortunately 15 minutes is not nearly enough time to plumb the depths and open all the doors, but let's give something of an overview first, and that will hopefully color and influence our understanding of every verse within this very, very precious perek. Rav Schwab quotes Chazal in Brachot Lamed Bet Amud Bet, who comment on the first pasuk, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, O Yehalelucha Sela, and allude to the Chassidim Rishonim, the early pious people, who would actually meditate for 1 hour prior to their tefillot, then daven, then pray for an hour, and then take an hour to step out of the tefillah, of the prayer, and so to speak, recalibrate themselves to enter real life. Now, I don't know what these people were doing that they had the 3 hours to devote. I think we're all wishing for the same. Most of us don't have or can't give the hour of preparation before the tefillah, and then the hour to step out after. However, most of us can afford the few minutes. And Chazal actually tell us of this preparation. And then later sources, and Rav Schwab here brings the idea, that the Ashrei, this sequence of psukim according to the order of the Aleph Beit, is our equivalent of the hour. In other words, this is the perek of praise. It's part of the psukei dezimra, which again is our time to meditate and to prepare ourselves and to introduce ourselves to who are we about to have a conversation with. The Shmona Esrei is the actual tefillah. And there are many mefarshim who tell us that the tefillah of Aleinu after the Shmona Esrei is our coming down from that high place and reacquainting ourselves with the real world. And of course, taking the messages of the tefillah with us to continue to influence our day. If so, the Ashrei is the introduction. These psukim of Mizmor Kuf Mem He are the getting to know you and the reminding ourselves of who it is we're dealing with. Rav Shah points out there's a very basic seeming inconsistency in the grammar of this particular perek, of this particular chapter, because 11 of the verses are what he calls B'lashon Nochach, are in second person, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you. Whereas there are 11 that are Nistal, in third person, speaking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he. And we've all learned in literature class, and again our early grades, that that's not okay in a composition or an essay. You can sometimes say you and sometimes say he. We have to be consistent. Since this is very thankfully not a literature class in sixth grade, we have to understand, of course, this is not a mistake, but this is intentional and deeply profound. Says Rav Schwab, the back and forth between facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu intimately, closely, as you, versus the remove of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he, represents the back and forth of a Jew in trying to balance throughout his life, throughout his day. On the one hand, his desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the you, but then once I get a little close and understanding on some level who it is I'm communicating with, my reeling back in awe of, I can't speak face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, let me take a step back. It's he. There's a yir'ah, there's a distance. It's a he. But then understanding he and saying, but I want to come close, jumping back to you. And then back and then forth and then back and then forth. The trying to balance the ava, the love, with the yir'ah, the awe, and it's back and forth, which is, of course, the healthy, beautiful seesaw of a Jew trying to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout his day. Continues Rav Schwab, this perhaps actually is the source of the very unique Jewish custom, what we call in Yiddish the shuckling, the actual physical swaying back and forth that has become the practice of many Jews when they face God in prayer. Seeming to be just overflow motion, not so. Most practices of Jews that are established for any amount of time have their basis in something very holy and very deep, as does this, the shuckling, the forward and backward swaying of a Jew as he faces God in prayer, is again this nochach nistar. It's the coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the poseach et yadecha, you open your hands, but then the moving back, the awe of Gadol Hashem u'mihulal me'od. He is very big. He is very praised. And the stepping back. And it's the forward and the back and the forward and the back. And again, the holy swaying of a Jew, the holy movement of a Jew, trying to find the balance throughout his life, throughout his experience of the I love you and the I am awed by you. And let me find my place in this relationship. As Rav Schwab again takes us further, there is, as we said, this dualism within this particular chapter, where on the one hand, the orderly system of the Aleph Bet indicates the logic that is perceivable by a human, the order. Whereas, Poteach et yadecha, you open your hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and give sustenance to all, is the nes, is the miraculous level that comes to us as a gift from God. Not logical, not rational, but the supernatural element or dimension that a Jew experiences as a servant of God who's worthy of his protection and of his sustenance. Says Rav Schwab, this is the perek, this is the chapter that defines a Jew's relationship, a Jew's approach to his pursuit of sustenance in the world. What we often call the whole parsha of Parnassa, of how do I support myself in this world? And in this case, again, there's a dual track. On the one hand, there's the Aleph Bet, the aspect of Parnassa that's logical, that's orderly, that's the human element necessary in the pursuit of livelihood, that demands from us logic, that demands from us honesty, that demands from us reliability. There's an emuna piece even in my efforts in Parnassa, in my efforts in attaining the sustenance that I need. And for that, there needs to be an emuna. The question that's asked, nasata vinatata be'emuna, did you comport your finances, your efforts to support yourself and your family with emuna, in a way that's befitting a person who believes that God is in charge? On the other hand, there is also the aspect of the emuna in the nes of Hashem. My success in supporting my family is not based exclusively on my efforts. My success in supporting my family is very often a gift from God. And I must have emuna and faith in that element as well. And thus is defined and thus is translated and thus is moderated the relationship of a Jew with the daily grind or sometimes the daily elevated effort of supporting ourselves and our families. On the one hand, there's the Aleph Bet level. There is, as an Ish Emunah, as a man or woman who believes that God runs the world, how does that dictate the way in which I comport myself in my effort to bring in finances and to support my family? And then there's the level of, where do I suspend my efforts and say, there's a piece of this that comes only from God, and I believe that I have no role to play, but this comes only from He. And so this kind of gives us an overall view of the structure and the message of this very special, very powerful chapter of Tehillim that really has an impact on what we spend much of our time doing, which is trying to go through the motions of whatever my role is in supporting my family, with the faith that this really comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the idea of the Aleph Bet. Let's focus in a bit more closely in that very significant pasuk for the letter Pei of Poteach et yadecha, you open your hand, umasbia lechal chayratzon, and give every single living being that which it needs. Rav Schwab points out that the pasuk over here, when we speak about livelihood being in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an element besides the hours that we clock, or how talented we are, or the work that we're good at doing. There's an element of success in our careers or in our livelihood, which is what is called ratzon, which is, in the words of Rav Schwab, v'chin, the favor that we find in the eyes of others, which is very often the key to our success in the area of parnasa and in really every area in life. We can be as efficient, as talented, as smart, as anybody else, but we must find favor. We must impress others. We must find that others respect our work in order to actually be successful and have something to show for the talent or the brains. We know the stories of people who are wildly talented. The penniless artist who never sold a painting in his life, and then, of course, his paintings are worth millions after his death. That didn't help to put bread on the table. And this area, as in any other area, is godly. We are the ability to find ratzon, to find favor, to in the eyes of others, which is the key to success, that is the gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is one that He gives out, or that is one that He bequeaths to those who are His faithful servants. That being said, This pasuk raises the question on many minds of Potech et yadecha, you open your hand, umazbia lechol chay ratzon, and grant this ratzon, grant this chen, to every living creature. Every single one of us knows people, more than one probably, who don't have all of their needs or all of their wants fulfilled. And we know certainly in the history of the world, those who perished from not having their needs met. So how do we reconcile this reality with the piece of faith that's delivered in this particular pasuk, in this particular verse? Rav Hirsch says that the answer to this question is actually brought in the next pasuk. Tzadik Hashem b'chad rachav. We start with, of course, the poteach et yadecha. You open your hand to satisfy every living thing. But we then continue with Tzadik Hashem b'chad rachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous in all of his ways. V'chassid b'chol ma'asav. And magnanimous in all of his deeds. Says Rav Hirsch, the world order provides unconditionally for every creature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides unconditionally for every creature that does not have free will or intellect. Everybody other than human beings. That means all the animals and the bees and the fish and the birds and every single creature that needs to be sustained is sustained without any strings attached. Except, of course, for the most exalted. And that is man. And that is woman. Where because we have prira, because we have the ability to choose to exceed or to excel, because we have the power of free will and choice to decide if in attempting to fulfill my obligations to sustain myself and my family, do I do so with an eye to emunah? Do I do so with an eye to faith? With an eye to doing this in a way that fulfills the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God? Or do I perhaps view myself as the one who is defining the parameters and do so only with myself as the king of what I bring home? Tzadik Hashem b'chad rachav. When it comes to human beings, there are conditions. And we as human beings have to act in a way whereby we deserve the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to fulfill. And Hashem will first weigh in mishpat, in judgment, before he provides. What level of provision, what level of sustenance most fits the actions and activities and behaviors of this particular person? What we must remember is that whether we have abundance and plenty, or whether we feel like we lack, this is based very often on our circumstances and our behavior. But we must remember, Tzadik Hashem b'chad rachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. And even when we feel a lack, or we feel unfulfilled, even the denial, our not having everything on our own wish list, that too comes from the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his knowledge that this lack, this not having everything I think I want, that is what is most beneficial for my growth, depending on who I am and the choices I make. That too comes from the tzidkut and the chassidut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too comes from his omniscient knowledge of what are the circumstances that are best for me in order for me to fulfill my potential and become my best self. I wish there was more time for us to go through this verse by verse and shuckle our way through the closeness and the fear. We have to end, but I'll ask permission for one more important thought. Again, that's an overarching foundation to then apply to each verse over here. And then hopefully some of these ideas we've spoken about will color and influence the understanding of every precious verse in this particular chapter. What many of us have noticed along the way is that there's one letter of the alphabet that does not make an appearance over here in this chapter. And that's the letter Nun. Chazal tell us that the reason the Nun does not appear is because the word nifila, the word falling, it begins with the letter Nun. And therefore, it's not mentioned over here. We don't want to talk about falling. However, it's compensated for with the letter Samach, which generally comes after the word Nun in the alphabet, where we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Somech Noflim. Somech Hashem Lechal HaNoflim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports all those who have fallen. Points out here Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. We as people, very often, when we succeed, very often when things are going wildly well, say, wow, I did great. And we take the credit and label this success with our names. It's only when we stumble or fall that we say, God, why? In other words, when it comes to falling, we call this God's. And when it comes to success, we call this ours. Says David HaMelech, the opposite is true. Nefilah is left out of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because falling is man-made. We fall because of our own folly. We fall because of our disobedience. But when it comes to somech noflim, to be able to get support, to be able to remain upright despite the vicissitudes of life, the challenges that would knock at us, that which would make us fall, the ability to stand tall, proud, erect, trusting, that ability comes from the support of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because nefilah belongs to man. But smicha, the support that lifts us from the fall, that is the gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's this understanding, I believe, these many levels of understanding, that become the key to unlock the power and the passion and the love of this perek that begins with the word Tehillah le David, and then ends the final pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, with Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi. May I be a person who is worthy that my mouth would declare the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vivarech kal basar shem kadsho, and may all living creatures bless his holy name, le'olam va'ed. Again, to end with the thought of Rav Shamshon Frel Hirsch, how long or when does le'olam va'ed happen? We talk about forever and ever. In the future, mankind will have attained a maturity that it must have to fulfill its destiny. Now, at this point, that maybe seems unlikely. We sometimes look at a little kid and say, when will this one grow up? But for those of us who have seen the long view, we see that those little ones who made mistakes or fell or didn't quite make it to reach the bar of how tall or how strong or how big they must be, eventually every kid grows up. And sometimes we look and say, wow, never thought it would happen, but now you're big. And look how big you've become. Le'olam va'ed is the date forever and ever. Some point in history, when we as the little kids of history, mankind, Jews, entrusted with the role of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will have reached our spiritual maturity and be worthy of being those who praise God, le'olam va'ed, forever and ever. Hoping to be there in that place, all of us. And again, on that note, I thank you for studying the Le'ilui Nishmot, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherit HaPleta. Their profound connection to Sefer Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.